You will increase your efficiency 20% if you learn to do the tough things first, the ones you don't want to do.
Ray Zinn now imparts his management philosophy in Tough Things First. In this series, Zinn covers it all, from the essence of human happiness,
adding value, showing that you have value,
to the downside of venture capital.
You will not own the company.
And the essence of entrepreneurial discipline.
If you're going to make it a consistent practice of working Saturdays just because you think you've got to work 80 hours a week to be successful, you're just flat out wrong.
Now here's Ray Zinn, Silicon Valley's longest serving CEO and today's guest host. And I'm Rob Artigo, your guest host for another Tough Things First podcast. I am a journalist, a writer, as well as an entrepreneur here in California with Ray Zinn. Hi, Ray.
Hello, Rob. Oh, it's great to be with you again.
We're going to have a good topic here. It's one that seems to come up in just about any political debate, any kind of election. And of course, this Supreme Court nominee recently, Brett Kavanaugh. I want to talk a little bit about the Second Amendment, but here's a tweet from Chris Murphy, and I'm not entirely sure where Chris is from, so forgive me on this, but this is the quote. On assault weapons, Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh's position is way out of the judicial mainstream, far to the right of even late Justice Scalia. Now, I bring this up because when it comes to the Second Amendment, it's a perpetual subject, whether it's the Supreme Court or political debate, but it comes up all the time. So this is an example of the Supreme Court question and the assault weapons. But let's talk a little bit about the Second Amendment in modern political debate. We have the Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear arms. Now, it's been framed several different ways, depending on which side of the aisle you're looking at here. And there's been a huge debate lately about what should be considered a legal firearm. And obviously, that's a question of assault weapons in the Supreme Court. But when it comes to the Second Amendment, are we getting it right in the public debate?
Well, you know, this whole issue on the Second Amendment is not necessarily down party lines. I guess it appears to be that way, but certainly it's not, because there are certainly people who are on the other side of the aisle who love hunting and shooting. You know, so Senator John Tester from Montana is a very big proponent of hunting and bearing and owning arms. And he's considered a fairly middle of the road a Democrat, as you would. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure that it's strictly down party lines, even though it appears to be that way. What I think it is just a debate. I mean, you know, we've had a lot of these school shootings and the horrible thing that happened in Las Vegas, and so all the people who are anti-gun, and I'll rather than call them, you know, Republican or Democrat, we'll just call them anti-gun people. Those are the ones that are ranting and raving to do something. And back in the time when the Second Amendment was written, that firearms were muzzle loaders. You know, they black powder. I mean, it took a fast guy that could load maybe in a minute or a little less than a minute. And today, with the firearms that we have available to us, you could preload a clip up to 30 rounds just like in half a second, you can snap a new clip on. So I think there's the big difference between back in the day and now. Although bearing arms has nothing to do with whether it takes you less than a minute or takes you less than a second. I think it's an attitude thing. There are people who just don't like guns, and I don't care if it's a semi-automatic weapon or if it's a muzzle loader. They just don't like them. I had a friend who once she found out that I like to shoot and hunt, she wouldn't even shake my hand. She says, "I'm not going to shake the hand of a person who's even touched a gun." So there are people who are extremists. Now, I think there can be some compromise. And I know that I may be touching on some nerves on this one, but we need a compromise in this country, and if we're going to get along, we have to agree on some defensible things. Owning a gun is in my mind, is my opinion, is good, and I feel more comfortable owning a firearm. I'd keep my guns locked up and out of the hands of children. I certainly believe in not necessarily walking around the city with one, but certainly owning one. Now, should we limit the number of rounds that a gun can dispense? Yes, there should be some compromise on how many rounds you can dispense. There's certainly no need of having a clip that holds 30 rounds to go hunting. I mean, you're a pretty lousy shot if you need to have a clip of 30 rounds to go hunting with. If you need to have a multiple clip a weapon, then that ought to be something that's separately certified, like silencers have to be separately certified. So if you say, okay, I have a need to carry a huge clip of ammunition, then fine, you go apply for it, you pay the price to get certified for it, and then away you go. Should the general public have firearms capable of shooting thousands of rounds in a few minutes? I think we don't need that. I don't think there's any reason for it. Certainly, you don't need to protect yourself. Your house would be full of bullet holes if you were to unload on an intruder your entire clip. So as far as I'm concerned, there can be some compromise on that. Eliminating guns altogether, I think that's a fruitless effort. I don't think that's going to fly. But certainly limiting how many rounds you can fire at a time, I think we can do that.
There is an argument out there on one side that says any infringement is a violation of the Second Amendment, and then they hold steady and hard on that line. And like you said, they're not available to they don't want to compromise. They get to that position and go, no, if it's an infringement on the Second Amendment, it's no good, because they make the slippery slope argument.
No, we're compromising on a lot of things. For example, the 8-pound trigger. See, a child can't pull more than 5 pounds. And so they went to an 8-pound trigger for retail type guns. And so the child can't pull that trigger. So they've made some compromises already. Mm-hmm. Silencers is another highly regulated piece of the ammunition or the gun laws. Automatic weapons is another one. The kinds of they've outlawed the 50 BMG in California. So I mean they have done this already. This is not a matter of a slippery slope. What I'm saying is that the big argument today regarding the Second Amendment has been over these guns that dispense thousands of rounds, mm-hmm. and in a very short period of time. If that shooter in Las Vegas had been limited to a clip that held only maybe 5 or 10 rounds, then we would have lost 10 people, not 50. And so that's my point.
Yeah, and he had lots of guns too. It wasn't just that he had one; he had multiple semi-automatic rifles with large capacity magazines. Yeah. So, I mean, in his case, it was he got that stuff legally, apparently, from what I understand. So, what you're saying is when it comes to compromises, you need to look at some of those things, because some of the access that he had, some of the weapons that he got, mm-hmm. some of the magazine capacity that he had access to, should be on the table in terms of what can be regulated, and we maintain still a healthy Second Amendment protection for Americans.
Right. We do it now. And so all I'm saying is that, we keep as you say, slippery slope. And if you give on one thing, you're give on another, but there are some defensible positions that can be taken to limit the magazine capacity of weapons. We do it now. It's just that, On some of those guns in some states, they're allowing unlimited capacity, and there's just no need of having a gun that can shoot unlimited number of rounds.
Now, we're not to get into kind of a whole new debate on the question of whether hunting is it should be something that's morally acceptable in society, because I believe it should. I know hunters, but one of the aspects of the Second Amendment debate that has come up is that people find it appalling. I've heard this. I've seen people complain about somebody who has you know, takes a picture with the deer that the buck that he shot or something, and then people go, oh, this is disgusting. You killed an animal with a gun, and it celebrates guns. It becomes a difficult subject to discuss because it's like they don't even understand what's going on with a healthy hunting community and the importance of having that. And then they get upset, and you can't even have pictures of the animals that you take from the wild.
Well, hunting is not just with a firearm. That you can hunt with a spear, you can hunt with a bow. They have these crossbows that people can use. So it's not just firearms. You can hunt with any kind of weapon. You can hunt with traps. I mean, people set traps out to capture animals. Mm-hmm. So, it's just not just a firearm thing. And this discussion today is on Second Amendment, which is a firearm, and not with regard to traps or bows and arrows and spears and whatever. So the hunting issue is a separate discussion. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to get everybody to believe these vegan people who just eat vegetarian. They're the ones that are opposed to eating meat. Mm-hmm. And so whether it's an animal you buy in Costco or whether you go out and shoot it, they think that's disgusting eating meat.
Right. So you're going to face criticism anyway. And what they do is tend to try to conflate the firearms issue.
Exactly.
With it. And like you said, there's all kinds of ways that you can be hunting and legally. And you can find out more from Ray Zinn at toughthingsfirst.com. Tough Things First is also on Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter. Ray pretty much tweets every single day, so you can get something new. And the book, Tough Things First, is available on Amazon, as well as the new book, The Zen of Zinn. Thanks again, Ray.
Thank you, Rob.
You've been listening to Tough Things First, candid talk with Silicon Valley's longest-serving CEO, Ray Zinn. Drop by the contact page at toughthingsfirst.com for more about the book, more podcasts, and links to Ray's Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn pages to keep up with Ray Zinn's wisdom daily.